I invite you again to stand as you're able for the hearing of this morning's gospel, which comes from the gospel according to Mark, reading in the first chapter. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? What is this, a new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once, Jesus' fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. And let us pray. Holy God, we thank you for this day and for the opportunity to gather and worship and to hear your word and your word proclaimed. And I ask, O Lord, that the thoughts of our minds, the meditation of our hearts, but especially, O Lord, the words of my mouth would be acceptable to you and continue to bring glory to your holy name, you who are our rock and our redeemer, our savior and our friend. Amen. One of my favorite Bill Murray movies is Groundhog Day. How many of you remember that movie? In that movie, Bill Murray plays a meteorologist, and his name happens to be Phil. Well, Phil is from Pittsburgh, and he has to travel to Punxsutawney to do a show on the great groundhog celebrations that are always there in Punxsutawney. And Phil, Bill Murray, is not very happy about his assignment. Actually, he's grumping and he's arrogant and he really doesn't want to go. So he goes and he does a lousy job, and as quick as he can, he heads out of town. And as they're leaving town, a blizzard comes up. And they're forced to turn around and go back to the place where Phil can't wait to leave, Punxsutawney. Well, if you know that movie, there's this recurring theme, recurring being a pun, of course, that every morning at 6 o'clock, the radio alarm goes off and Sonny and Cher are singing, "You Got Me, Babe." Well, it's not bad enough that it happens once, but it happens over and over and over again. He's stuck in a time loop. He can't get out of it. And so he's forced to repeat Groundhog Day for what seems like an eternity. Well, in this movie, you have to know that there's also a love interest, which there often are in comedies. And Phil, Bill Murray, is in love with Rita, played by Andy McDowell, who's the news producer. And no matter how hard Phil tries, he can't win over Rita. Perhaps it's because he's just being a jerk. But whatever the reasons, Rita will not have the time of day with him. And so as these days just keep repeating and repeating and repeating, he tries all kinds of antics to bring this time loop to an end. And finally, after what seems like an eternity of repeating Groundhog's Day, he finally sits down with Rita and has a conversation about the nightmare that he's stuck in. And she listens calmly, and she offers him some advice. And as the story goes, Phil is impressed with her positive attitude. Phil is impressed with her positive attitude, and things change in the movie. Now Phil tries to do good deeds every day rather than what he was doing before. He tries very hard to make a positive impression. He tries to live out what he believes, and he continues to hope to win, of course, the heart of Rita. Finally, after this change in Phil, in Bill Murray, one evening he actually has an opportunity to repeat the festivities of Groundhog Day, or one morning, I should say. And he does such an eloquent job of sharing these groundhog celebrations that all the other television stations and network turned their mics on Phil, because he's doing such a great job. He truly has changed from the arrogant person of the beginning of the movie to the kinder, gentler meteorologist at the end. And of course, as all fantasies and comedies that have a happy ending, he wins over the heart of Rita, and once he finally kisses her, the loop stops. The loop stops. And that repetition of Groundhog Day comes to an end. What I love about that movie is that it reminds us that really, it's not what we say, it's what we do. It's not what we say. No matter what manipulations Phil tried to use to win over Rita, his words made no difference. It wasn't until he turned his life around and his actions were different that things began to change, not only for him and not only for the relationship with Rita, but for the whole town of Punxsutawney. Things turned around when his actions became different than what it was that before his words were saying. We all know that actions truly speak greater than words. People learn so much about who we are by what we do, not by what we say. And that's what the psalm this morning is about. It's a great psalm of praise. It reminds us all that we are called to praise God. And the psalm is really a teaching tool because it's one of those psalms in the Hebrew language is an acrostic teaching poem, meaning that every half line of that poem begins with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet and going successively through that alphabet. We miss that in English because, of course, the translation doesn't show that. But it would be like a psalm of praise that would begin first with A and then with B and then with C all the way to Z. It reminds us that praise of God is complete from A to Z. We owe everything to God. And the praise in that psalm is not to praise so much God's nature, but to praise the mighty deeds that God has done. To praise the mighty deeds that God has done. No one of us has ever seen God. We don't know fully God's nature, but we do know the things that God has done, not only in history, but that God is still doing today. We are called to continue to watch for the signs of God's work among us, because that's what teaches us about the very nature of God. The psalm calls us to continue to celebrate and to witness and to praise the mighty works of God. For when we remember those mighty deeds, that's when we also are reminded of the very nature of God. The fourth verse in this psalm says, God has gained renown by his wonderful deeds. The Lord is gracious and merciful. We know God by God's mighty deeds. This psalm also would remind us that it's a window, it's a glimpse into the very nature of God. It's a glimpse of who God is. It also reminds us that too often we think of God as transcendent, out there someplace, so far away that he can't be known or felt or even worshiped. But that God is not only transcendent, but God is immanent. God is here with us. God is as close as our heartbeat, as close as our loved ones. It's not either or, it's both and. God is beyond what we can understand, and God is our innermost being. It also would remind us that history and law walk hand in hand. As we look at what God has done in our history, we are reminded that part of that is the giving of the law. And in our praise and thanksgiving, we are reminded not only to thank God for his mighty deeds in history, his mighty deeds today, but that he gave us laws to follow. He gave us in our scriptures how best we are to live. God's mighty deeds go hand in hand with the law. And for that, we are to praise God with thanksgiving, with worship, and with obedience. I'd like us to take a moment this morning in the quiet of our hearts to think about the mighty deeds that God is still doing today. To think about the mighty deeds that God is still doing today. And I want us to do that because if we don't share what it is that God is doing in our world today, people will not know who God is. If we don't begin to celebrate and witness to the mighty deeds of God in our own lives or in our community, people will not even see a glimpse of who God is. So take a moment and think of one or two of the mighty deeds of God in your own life or in your family or in our church family, and then offer a silent prayer of thanksgiving for the mighty deeds of God. The Lord is truly renowned by his wonderful deeds. The Lord is gracious and merciful. The Lord is gracious and merciful. The gospel lesson for this morning in some ways echoes the psalm, not because it's a teaching moment per se, and it's not because of the words that are used in Mark's gospel, but because, again, it reminds us that actions speak greater than words. Actions speak greater than words. In Mark's telling this morning of Jesus and his disciples in the synagogue of Capernaum on the Sabbath, he doesn't even tell us what it is that Jesus is reading. He doesn't even tell us what scripture it is that Jesus is interpreting. We just hear that he reads and he teaches with a new authority, with a new way of being. And the different than the way their usual teachers would teach. It's different than the way the scribes would teach. For the scribes taught for information. They taught by comparing scriptures. They taught things that people were called to memorize and remember. But Jesus, we know, taught for transformation. He taught not just for information, but he taught that lives would be changed, that the kingdom of God would be known, and that others would know that God is love. In Mark's telling of this story in the synagogue of Capernaum, it's not so much about what Jesus teaches, but it's about Jesus' actions. For as soon as Jesus finishes teaching, a man with an unclean spirit enters or makes himself known in the congregation. And Jesus does not ignore him. Jesus takes that interruption as a moment for a teaching. He heals that man. He cures him. It's an exorcism of sorts. And then it is that the congregation says, "What is this? What is this? A new teaching with authority." It's the example of Jesus living out the scriptures that made the difference for the congregation. It wasn't so much what Jesus read and taught and preached, but it was how he lived it out. And that's true throughout the gospel story. Jesus shared a lot of teaching moments, but Jesus mostly lived out his teaching by his life. He was a teacher by example. We too are called to teach by example. We are called to reveal God and reveal Jesus by the way we live. We can preach Jesus Christ till we're blue in the face, and it probably would not make a difference in the world. But if people could see us live out Jesus' word, if people could see how much we love one another and how much we love God, that really would make all the difference. Yes, Jesus was a wonderful teacher, and he did teach with God's authority. But he also was the one who taught us by example how to live our lives, and how to live out God's word. We don't have the opportunity, like Bill Murray, to live each day over and over until we get it right. But what we do have is the opportunity each and every day to strive to live with integrity, to strive to live out the words of Jesus Christ, to try to live out in our own lives the example that Jesus gave us. It's not enough just to teach with words. We teach with our lives. We teach by our actions. Truly, if we were to do that in this community, people would wonder, what is this? What is this? A new teaching with authority, a new way of life, a new way to be followers of Christ. And then people would wonder, who is this Jesus? And what does this Jesus have to do with us? If we were each and every day to live out the good news in our own lives, then people would wonder, what is this? And would want to know what we know. Amen.